Hello and welcome to this week's You May or May Not Like It. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. Here with Brian, you can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Theory. Here with Mike, you can find on Twitter at Review and Roast. And joining us for the first time on a board game show is Chris, and you can find him on Twitter at SkateXEdge. You can find all of our reviews for movies, TV shows, board games, video games, books, comics, your face, my face, Brian's face, and all that good stuff at ReviewandRoast.com. And we have quite a few Instagrams. We have
and anything Instagram else that won't get you
slash laid. Review and Roast, yes. Slash Star Wars Tabletop. That's our newest one. It's actually going pretty well. So if you're not following it yet, head over there. Mike's being Picasso lately and painting all of our miniatures. So, I mean, I've done a little bit of Photoshop ship work on X-Wing. I'm just saying it's a pretty neat place to be.
Mike will literally paint the shit out of it.
Today we're going to talk about the newest, latest and greatest hyped game, Blood Rage, and we're going to tell you whether or not it deserves all the hype that it's getting.
It's not that new.
What do you mean it's not that new?
Yeah, I was going to say. It's like came out a couple years ago, dude.
It's like 2 years old at least.
I've just heard about it because you've been creaming over it for the last like month.
It was.
So if he hasn't seen it, it's new to him.
No, I've known about it since it was on Kickstarter. The problem is it did so well on Kickstarter that it was...
It kicked you in the balls.
It was delayed to retail, and then when it did drive out into retail stores, it was pretty much bought immediately, so it was hard to get for a while. But now it's finally like semi-readily available.
All right, well, is it worth the hype for the last 2 years? I thought it literally just came out. No one has ever mentioned this game until like 3 weeks ago.
I didn't even bother because I knew it was going to be super hard to get.
You should have said something. I got some connects.
You got nothing.
That's... They had it at whatchamacallit the day we were there.
Yeah, duh.
Yeah, that's the first time I've seen it, though.
Oh.
Well, you know what we did see? We saw it on the table here last weekend.
That's right.
So any of you who are not familiar with it, I'll give it a quick little rundown. Everybody controls their own little Viking clan. You get a bunch of warriors, you get your leader, you get a ship, and you get to possibly spawn giants, creatures, trolls, whatever, to fight alongside of you. And Ragnarok is on its way, which is the imminent destruction of the planet, the glorious death where you can all go to Valhalla sitting beside Odin, and basically it's your one last chance to rape and pillage the land.
Anthony Hopkins is not in this game.
Nope. He didn't make it into this cut. I know. I think he's coming for the expansion. I don't know why that's a thing, but yes.
They made all the miniatures, but it turned out they were all Hannibal Lecter, so they had to redo them all.
All right, that's... you're what? Rails. Later.
He was Odin and Hannibal Lecter?
Right, but I didn't get the Hannibal part, but yeah, okay.
Wow.
Hey, zip it. You got something to add?
You want to talk
add?
About overrated?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Right?
What are you saying? Anthony Hopkins is overrated?
No, I'm saying Silence of the Lambs is overrated.
Oh.
That movie is fucking hellaciously overrated.
Okay, so I guess we'll have to talk about that some other time.
Movie sucks.
So, what is this, up to five people? Chris? It's Chris's yep. game, so that's why he's here.
Yep.
Otherwise, he wouldn't be on here.
No. God, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not laughing.
Burn City.
So everyone, basically, it's, if you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about Scythe, and it's kind of similar, but I feel like this one's not as unforgiving. Basically, you have a couple of different actions on your turn. You can invade, meaning you put your guys out on the board. Basically, everybody starts out with a certain amount of rage. You have a rage meter. You can raise your rage throughout the game, but all of your actions, they cost rage to perform. So once you run out of rage, that's kind of how you... So it's, some people essentially might get more turns than another because, you know, I might do something that takes half my rage, whereas, you know, say Mike's just going to put out his leader, which doesn't cost anything. So you kind of it's almost like a resource management slash area control type of game.
Except for you don't really get more resources.
No, but if you look at rage as resource,
I guess
sort of. But so you can invade, which you can place guys anywhere on the board except the middle, unless you have the special guy that Mike always seemed to have. It's basically you have the one center area, and then there's a bunch of lands around it, and each area has its own, lack of a better term, resource, whether it be rage, whether it be points that you will get for winning a battle, or what's the third one?
Amount of troops placed.
Boom, amount of troops you're allowed on the board. Right. So you can spend your rage to put guys on the board. You can spend your rage to march, and now marching, you can go anywhere you want on the board. You're not restricted to just any adjacent space, which is kind of a neat idea. But then when it comes to pillaging, the only people that can join in and try and stop you from pillaging have to be adjacent. So it's kind of, you know, in the rewards, you get all three of the rewards for pillaging in the middle. So it makes it kind of harder to pillage because everybody's adjacent. Whereas if you can get yourself onto a corner of the board where no one's really hanging around, you can almost pillage free of charge, more or less. And, you know, the first time we played, of course, we bumbled through it and forgot about the whole, oh, you can only have four guys on the board? Well, I've got my entire army out on the board.
Yeah.
So that was a little, whoops. But the second time around, we pretty much nailed it rules-wise, and it was a much different game.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's a bad thing. It was actually much smoother, and it made it a little more, I guess you would say, strategic, because if, you know, instead of putting 30 guys on the board right away, you've only got four, and you're limited to what you can have based on where you can pillage. And the pillaging also, they're just tokens that are randomly placed. So, you know, one game you might be sitting right next to the rage. The next game, you know, you might not. And if you don't go first and someone else is moving into that spot, it's almost kind of hard to take over in the beginning of the game. So, I don't know. It's kind of a neat... The neat scythe-like game is just not as heavy, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're probably right. I was going to say, because, like, everyone here, their introduction to area control games was probably Risk.
Yep.
I don't care for Risk all that much. If you're doing really well, it's great, because you pretty much can steamroll, but if you're
falling, that's why you don't like it.
If you're falling behind, or if it just game just takes forever.
Because somebody's headbanging?
Well, I was thinking about the one time we played with, was just me, you, and Joe played, and the game lasted like 5 hours, and it was just, at the end, it was like, I was hanging on just for the sake of hanging on. I think you were already out, and it was just Joe and I, and he kept winning. So I was like, I have to keep fighting him because I still have guys left, but essentially, it's already a done deal. He's going to win. He's got all the good rolls at this point. Because at the point that we got to where we were at, we were pretty evenly matched. But then he just started; he was dominating in the dice department, and there was nothing I could do except just slowly watch him disintegrate my guys.
Well, here's the thing that maybe a lot of people might not realize about that game, but you don't have to wipe the guy completely out. You just need to control X amount of territories.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like it was,
you could have just pulled your guys out. Well, whatever.
But that, like I said, like. That being my introduction, I was never like, oh, dude, area control games are the best. But since then, we've played Conquest of Nerath, we played this, we played Scythe, and I'm like, okay, I totally love this style of game. I just not a big Risk guy.
It's much better if you play it digitally.
I played it digitally. I actually hate it more.
It's way better.
I found it on my PS4 yesterday when I was going through my games.
But what I like about this one is, well, I guess we'll get to that when we get to that part.
Boom.
But it's games like this where it's like your turns are limited, the rounds are like kind of set, and there's only a certain number of like options you have to work with that kind of makes you have to rethink your inks, like you said.
It's very true. And when it comes down to rounds, there's only three rounds, right?
Yep. Three rounds.
Which doesn't sound like a lot, but if you learn how to manage your rage really well, or like Mike, steal everyone else's rage...
Pretty good strategy.
Yeah, it screwed me and definitely helped you because you're the only one that beat me.
I won the second game.
That's what I said. You're the only one that beat me.
Yeah.
And you lapped Chris.
Oh, was that game?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What was it, 117-6?
Yeah.
I would have did well if I...
Yeah, we know. Shit. We know. All right, next.
No, well...
know what? From now on, I'm going to be on every show now.
It won't take long.
You got to be on the X-Wing show.
Yeah, that one's coming soon too.
It is.
I'm surprised you're not signed up for this tournament, Mike.
I probably decimate that too. Just like I did to your face.
If your head gets any bigger, you ain't getting out the door.
So I don't wear hats.
We'll have to use the garage door to get him
right. Get the crowbar. No, well, here's the thing, Chris. Like, give it a couple more weeks or months or whatever, you know, a few more times to come on over here, and things will drastically change for you. But, like, we were talking about it after you left, or the next day, and I was like, dude, I sat there and watched him be like, I'm going to do this. And I'm like, that's absolutely the correct move. But then, like, you spend the next 5 minutes talking yourself out of it, and you do nothing. That's really, it's just your indecisiveness is why.
No, you had the best move outspoken, and then you talked to yourself, literally, you told yourself you're an idiot, and then you made the idiot move. You know what I mean?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, you're like, I'm totally just going to take this whole thing over, and it's going to be awesome. No, that'd be dumb. I'm just going to
sit back.
I'm just going to sit and wait and let Scott pillage that uncontested. Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll do that instead, and I'll save it for the next round as everyone's mobbing points.
Yeah,
no, I mean, it was
a sound strategy.
I'm gonna let everyone else win, and I'm just gonna lose.
Yeah, that was.
Well, I mean, you killed it.
Yeah, you can accomplish the rest of your life goals like you do that. You're gonna be all right.
Burn.
Ouch.
Not really a burn. I wish I could accomplish my goals the way he just accomplished losing that game. It was amazing. If you're going to do it with some flair. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Now look at Scott. What a fucking jerk off. Second place. Stupid. Hey. You know what I mean? What's the difference? At least Chris got lapped like a man.
I was just going to say intra mile, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I guess now that we're past that, let's get into specifically what we liked about this, and I think Brian had some stuff, so we'll just let him ramble first.
Right. Like I said, the thing with, just refer back to Conquest and Nera, there's pretty much the only limits you have to putting out guys is how much you can afford, like risk. So there are moments in that game where the space is about a square inch, and you're literally between you and the contestant are trying to stuff about 15 guys in there, and you're talking about storm elementals, dragons, wizards, barbarians, various giants carrying various weapons, and you're literally just stacking a ball of plastic in like one spot, and they're bleeding over, and it's just like, whereas this game, each spot has like 5 spaces, so it's like you're almost like, I'm trying to think of a way to a comparison, but if there's 5 spots essentially, like you want to have 3 of them minimum.
Space is limited.
Yeah, you want to have 3 spaces minimum covered by your guys before you decide to pillage. So, like, pillaging is not always just like, oh, well, I'm here, I'm going to do it. Because even if you have, if there's any spaces left open, somebody can just go in and move in, and then, oh, and I got this card, and that's just, it makes your trying to conquer various areas. And there's really no such thing as area control in this game. You're really just trying to stay in an area long enough to pillage and move on to the next round, because there's a good possibility that spot's going to be demolished in between rounds.
Oh, I forgot.
That's what I like, is like you have to kind of you got to pick
the area becomes smaller and smaller and smaller.
Right, and you have to pick when is the best time to strike and get out. Unless, of course, your quest for that round is to have one blue area or one gray area controlled by the end of the round, and then you get, you know, points for that or whatever.
I forgot about so much of this game.
Yeah, well, that's part of the thing. There's a couple of side quests. There's the cards that we didn't even really talk about.
All about them.
You know what I mean? Well, that's when you go to the things that I like, that's two things I like about that game: the cards and the miniatures. Everything else about that game is legit meh for me. Like, meh. Like, I mean, it's all right. It's no ball of fire. I mean, and with the exception of,
ball of fire?
Nirath is obviously more area control. And Brian
I was going to call you out on it, because but you corrected yourself, because I don't really think this game's very area control much.
It's like a big
mosh
pit.
It kind of is. I mean, I don't want to get into like the things I don't like, but the amount of characters or amount of miniatures or army guys, whatever you want to call them, in the area, to me, is actually almost like a drawback, because one guy, some of them have four spots, some of them have five, and I think... Did a couple have three and a couple have six? I don't really know. Maybe one or two.
The middle is unlimited.
The middle is unlimited, which, okay, I get it. That's no big deal. But the problem is it's with being able to march, it makes it a lot easier to dominate an area where it can, when you go to pillage an area, which we didn't really – well, I guess we touched on it, you can be contested by anybody in the game and everybody in the game.
Only if it's next to you.
Correct, or if you're in the middle.
If you're in the middle,
which could be, there could be 15 guys in the middle.
Right.
The point is, if you're playing a four-player, five-player game, and you want to pillage an area, in theory, you can have four guys come against you.
Right.
Now, here's the problem with that, is you're limited on space, and the four guys coming against you aren't coming against you as a unit. That was one of the biggest annoyances to me, besides the fact that stopping a guy doesn't give you a dick, except for stopping him.
Stop him with your mouth next time.
I'd try. But you know what I'm saying? So like you said before, you have three of five spaces, and you want to pillage, and Chris moves in. Well, why would I? Because we're not teaming up to take you on, but I also know that Chris doesn't have any other guys to go in there, so he's just going in there to kill himself. You know what I mean? Which is lame. You know, or whatever. Well, actually, that was my move, but... Anywho, the point is, that's just one of the things to me that was, the epic battle only happens in the middle, which I kind of get that too, but there's too many, there's a lot of those battle cards, or what were they called? Gifts from the gods?
Sure.
Yeah.
Right, Chris? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Gift of the god deck or whatever? Everybody has a certain amount of cards that you can use and whatnot, which is actually, I thought, was one of the cooler things, because some of those cards kick your ass, and some of those cards kick those cards' asses that kick your ass. You know what I mean? So, and the way they play is actually, the way they play is pretty good. That's like, just like that game where when
a shit hand.
when Brian was in the middle, I thought he was making a move with his card that kills everybody.
Right. Yeah.
That's the only, otherwise I would have went in there and stomped him, but I thought
had. But yeah, there's some cool cards that super have like a plus zero, which you could like use to bluff with, and like there's actual like kick ass reward for.
Yeah. Yeah, you get, and that's the thing, you get rewards for losing, you get rewards for winning, you get rewards for tons of different things. So, like I said, the cards I thought are actually, they're my favorite part. Being able, that's what game, if that game didn't have cards, I wouldn't even be sitting here right now. It wouldn't be worth my time.
No, it needed the cards because it needed it for the clan upgrades and the leader upgrades and the warrior upgrades.
Which I also...
The first thing like I thought about when we were playing it the very first time, I was like... And Brian was like, yeah, I'm not into this. And I'm kind of thinking in my head, I'm like, yeah, dude, this game is no Scythe, man. I can't upgrade for shit.
Yeah. Well, and that's, and then we start that's all what you upgrades, get.
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, there it is. Now it's...
But that's only... See, to me, again, now that's only more reason to have... One more round. It's like every game. You know what I mean? Some games, it's like, how fucking long is this game? And then other games, it's like, god damn, this game's over already? You know what I mean? Like, this is one of those where it's like, man, one more round. Even, and it would make the board even smaller, again, because each round you're basically destroying one of the areas. But I think one more round. I know I say that all the time. Or we all say it all the time. We either say it's too long or too short, so nobody's ever going to make anybody happy, I guess.
We're a picky bunch.
Fickle.
Anything you specifically liked about it, Chris, before I ramble?
I like the fact that the map is small, or like the areas become limited as you go through the ages, like the first and second, third ages. I think that's kind of cool, because especially if you have like four or five people playing, then it's like, then it becomes like all out war.
Yeah.
But I kind of agree with Mike, like stopping a dude from like pillaging an area and like all you don't get dick. It's like kind of like, why even bother?
Yeah, it's only to stop a guy from getting,
Well, right. I mean, that's their only incentive, is to stop him from, like, actually getting the rewards of pillaging it so you can actually get it maybe later on.
Yeah, and we didn't touch, Chris, on the fact that so Rage, Horns, and Victory, what's that middle one?
Yeah,
the axe one.
The axes, yeah.
It's like battle points or something like that. Each right. time you pillage, those are on a track that goes up, and as the track gets higher, you're available. Rage increases, troop placement increases, and points per battle win increase, which the only thing you do get from stopping somebody is if you win that battle, you get the battle points, and that's it. You don't get the pillage, you don't get anything else. But on that track, the top three tiers of that track give you bonus points at the very end.
Yeah.
The top of it being like plus 20 or something, right. which I had two of three, and I was in the second tier, which is 10 points. So at the end of the game, I added 50 points to my score.
That's where I got screwed because I only added 40.
Right, which is is actually kind of a big deal. And I think Chris added, I think it was zero.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it was. I'm trying to, I was doing a math in my head, but I was, yeah, it was a little wonky. I think, yeah, what'd you get? You got 3 points twice for winning two battles, right? Because I think that track starts at a three. No, I'm not. I know that's actually hilarious, but that wasn't the joke.
No, because it actually happened.
Yeah, and one of them was in the third round too, like right at the very end. He stepped up his game.
Moving on up.
So I guess I'll touch on what I like really quick here, even though everyone's seemingly skipping on to what they hated. But I was going to go back to what Mike was saying about the cards. And the one thing that no one's really brought up yet, and the one thing I actually really like about this, is when you're in battle and you lose, you keep your cards. When you're in battle and you win, you lose those cards. So playing the cards is a little more strategic than we made it sound. You know, like you said, there's cards that are dick moves, and there's cards that are just, I'm going to smash your face. But if you lose a battle, you keep them, which is kind of interesting. And at the end of the round, you lose everything but one.
And that is a cool thing, too, because it makes it increasingly harder to keep on winning if you're trying to go on a fucking tear.
Yeah.
You know, well, shit, I keep winning. I keep dropping my plus six strength or whatever.
Well, yeah, because then everyone's already, everybody knows what the hell you've got.
And I keep using my plus zero and steal your rage.
Right. And nobody can, I mean, I think they did it that way so that no one can absolutely just destroy the whole game.
Yeah, it's pretty evenly well balanced. Even like the monsters, you think like before you play this game, like, oh yeah, dude, there's this fire giant. I'm just gonna come in and I'm just gonna fucking rape.
You know what? I'll have to admit, the troll that I got both games, he's the best character because the second he goes into an area, he kills every warrior there.
Yeah, I don't
That's
like that
guy huge.
Very much. Yeah, that frost giant though, the frost giant that I got at the very end, when you pillage with him, it's a double.
That's huge.
Which
too.
Actually, that's half the reason. Because I finally got, I spent two full games not getting shit for big cool guys, but I actually had the little cool guys, which was actually pretty sweet. Because I got those dwarfs that are free to put out.
Super sweet.
You know what I mean? And then I got that guy that you could drop in the middle, whatever. And then the Valkyrie was actually pretty nice, even though I never really got to use her special ability.
Sea Serpent's not that awesome.
No,
he looks awesome.
He looks pretty awesome.
The fact that he's
just another boat.
Yeah.
That's another huge thing I didn't really like, but whatever. We'll get to that the fjords later.
Yeah, I looked at the
later.
Card, it's like, treat this like you would a boat. I'm like, that's it?
Yeah.
Easily the most impressive miniature in that box. It's like, he literally sits there. He doesn't do shit. He can't move.
Like, his special ability should be, like, to unleash, like, 10,000 sharks.
Yeah, or something.
Sharknado.
That would have been pretty good.
You're going to release the dogs, and when they bark, they shoot bees at you?
I don't know. Something like that.
No? Simpsons? No? Fine.
Whatever.
All right, so let's elaborate more on what we hated.
Oh, you want me to start?
I mean, you already did. So.
We ain't got that kind of time,
right?
I'll be all day with that. No, not really. I mean, I don't know. I just the area control portion of the game, which there is a smidge because you got to move into stuff.
You just control it until you pillage,
right? But that part is uber annoying to me. The fact that when you can march all your guys for One Ridge, which actually is the cool portion.
Only one guy, all your guys are from one spot.
Yeah. But so basically, if you have four guys in a spot and there's a spot that I just put one in and there's four open spots, you can legit move them all in there on the next turn.
Right.
Making it, and having said that, there's no card in the deck that would basically let my one warrior beat your four dudes. I mean, it'd be, you'd have to be moving them all in there to kill them.
Yeah.
And purposely throw down a zero card and I play my best, which I'm not going to play the best card because I'm not going to plan on trying to win anyways. Right. So, again, that part takes a lot of the strategy out of it, which I'm not a huge fan of. And the strength system itself, I'm not a fan of that in any game, really, honestly. Like, basically, you're taking... That's like the Game of Thrones game, area control-ish game. It's based on strength. Well, once you get your army to a certain strength, you're just rolling.
I believe that designer worked on that game.
Oh, yeah? Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? It's that strength base. Once you get, like in this game, if you had a group, you know, you got your Frost Giant and your leader and one other dude, that's three guys that, as we know, almost can't lose almost any battle. If you could get a giant, your leader, and a plus one.
Unless I'm controlling them.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that's because they wouldn't attack. Yeah, they'd be sitting in the same fucking spot.
Hey, throw me another can of beans.
Yeah, and then, you know, and if you place your boat in a certain spot, you can't move it ever again. So
right.
Annoying.
So even to take your guys, you know, if you wanted to put your boat in, I don't think I played a boat once. Maybe I did in the first game, but the first
game. I played the sea monster because it looks cool.
Well, I mean, it does have that, but I mean, at least on the plus side of having the boat is it's like controlling two areas.
It does. It does, but again, now, don't forget about the other problem was that it's an automatic pillage defense.
Yeah.
Which maybe I don't fucking wanna. I think that's how Brian lost the serpent.
Yeah.
Somebody was just pillaging an area. It's attached to the fjord or whatever. And, yeah, but I don't wanna. Yeah, well, he's dead. You know what I mean?
Now you gotta spend three rage to put him back out.
I have five guys here, and there's pretty much no card you have, so that just happened. So, you know, it cost him all that rage to get the dude out, which at that point in the game is probably an easy 30 to 50% of his rage in one dude, and what was he worth, like four strength or something?
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't bad. I mean,
Sea Serpent's just an overpriced boat.
Yeah. So, I mean, realistically, I mean, again...
If you could play the Love Boat theme song when you put him out, that'd be all right.
I'm not bashing on it. I'm just... There's definitely, in my opinion, holes in that aspect of the game. But I like battle games, and I like that kind of stuff, but I feel like they... I don't want to say it's like dumbed down, but it's like sort of like nerfed to a degree where it's like, yeah, it's kind of epic, but nah, not too epic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which maybe that's the whole point. Maybe it's supposed to be a 65-minute game and, you know.
I think it's supposed to be like that, like a complete like bloodbath when you battle, not like when you're Risk, like, you know, you're slowly like chipping away at their army.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like this one, you go in, it's like if you lose,
But that's the whole thing, Charlie. Too, I hate, is that they don't give you that. I really wish it was more of a team effort to destroy somebody that's trying to pillage, because why wouldn't it be? You know what I mean? If Scott's got his, let's just say his army's pillaging this village, why the hell would me and Chris want to stop him? I'm not pillaging shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And why would I not get Chris to help me? Because we both hate Scott anyways. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. I feel like it would be a team effort.
Just wait till Rising Sun comes out.
No, so, Scott because bashing on this podcast.
Everything that you are saying that you wish this game had, that game does.
Yeah, you know what, Chris? I've been lied to before.
Okay. I was just going to say, we don't really know. Yet we don't know.
No, I watched a gameplay video of it.
Yeah, okay.
You can form alliances in it.
We'll see about that.
You can form alliances and Risk, too, but no one ever wants to do it with
me. I'm going straight Sarah Palin on that thing.
Rogue!
I guess...
I got more, but I'm done.
Well, I was just going to basically piggyback onto yours. Like, yeah, The whole fact that if I go to pillage and they all move in to stop me and nobody gets a reward for that is kind of lame. That's my real only, gripe with that game is the pillaging. Like, if you know, if Mike's going in there and I know I can go in there and easily stop him, I should get something for that.
But and that's the problem. I mean,
let's face it, we're all Vikings. If I'm stopping you from pillaging, it's not because I'm protecting the fucking town.
And that actually gets
because I want to pillage.
That gets to my point too, though, because Scott here, that actually happened, I believe. Because think about this: you're in your area that you are wanting to pillage. I'm about to pillage an area next to you. You could easily stop me, but you didn't pillage your area yet. So you don't want to leave there.
Yep.
You know, so that brings into that turn-based thing. So it leaves a lot of openings like that where it's like, you know, you pull a Chris and you're just sitting in the same area because, you know, I'm waiting to make my move to pillage this thing, but I'm trying to get this guy out. I'm trying to upgrade that. I mean, Chris had the pimpinest army of all time. He just, they never went anywhere. You know what I mean? He had, oh, this guy's upgraded. He's cock diesel. And it's like, yeah, that's cool, but... Like, you've been sitting in North Dakota this whole goddamn game. You know what I mean?
My butt.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. It's like, so you can't, like, just defend and spring back, which that much. I'm not complaining about that, but it's like.
I never quite thought about it. Yeah, you're right.
It would cost him. It would then cost him another rage to move his guys back to pillage the other thing.
Yeah.
But now that he's there, why did he.
Your area, like, yeah, it's like.
And maybe the one that I'm on.
It's a risk. It's a huge risk.
Well, what happened to me in the one game was at the end of the second round or the beginning of the third, I maxed the rage out. So why am I going to stop you from getting rage when I didn't pillage this area to get another horn?
And that's what
you mean. So now I'm going to end up in your rage zone. So what, I can pillage that just so nobody gets it? I mean, I get that, I guess, but I'm trying to get some points up in here.
Yeah, stopping somebody from pillaging in this game is literally, unless you plan on trying to pillage it yourself later on, it's literally just dick moves.
Yeah, but...
But like it said, doesn't help you. It actually hurts you.
Unless you're trying to get it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, on your team card, then you'd be getting the glory for winning that battle.
Right.
So yeah, like I said, the way I look at this... Pillaging.
So there's there is that.
I wasn't thinking about that too, though, because if you get those axes way up and you just start moshing, I mean, you're getting like 8 points a battle or something.
Right.
That would add up pretty quick.
Well, and here's
a guess. You could be stopping people from pillaging left and right, and every time you did it, you'd be moving on the glory.
But you're always running that risk. See, because the other thing, you know what we didn't talk about? Just let me do this real quick. When the army during your turn gets killed, it goes to Valhalla, not back into your deployment area.
Right.
So no matter how you're saving your rage, like I was using the special card that I can steal a rage if I lose. Well, I'm losing a guy and getting a rage, but it cost me a rage to bring the guy back. Well, I can only do that for so long because I think in the third round I had like one dude left. I couldn't get more guys if I wanted them because, right. I mean, Valhalla was that's where I got points too, remember?
Yep.
Because I had the upgrade I got a bonus at the end of the game for all the dudes in Valhalla, which was pretty much most of my dudes. But the point is, so I actually like that portion of the game where there is a finite supply of dudes. It's not like you're just bringing them out and changing your infantry to a horse and your horse to a cannon. This is like, you got this many guys. So when you lose your Frost Giant, you can bring them back next time. So in the third round, it's like, shit.
Do I really want to spend 3 rage to bring out one?
Again,
dude?
When Brian was in there, there's a card where you can wipe out everybody on both teams and everybody keeps one dude. Like, that's no fun at all. You know what I mean? Like,
but there was a card that I believe that said that you were able to bring in someone from Valhalla during that round. Like, you didn't have to wait. You didn't have to wait.
Yeah.
For it. Like,
well, I never saw it, Chris.
Well, neither did I. But that's when I look through the cards, it is there.
And we played that game a full 2 times. I mean, there's cards I never even. I mean, I don't even know if I saw a couple because
some of them were taken out.
If I didn't have it in my hand, you guys snatched them up every time. I mean, I got the Frost Giant by
accident.
Well,
not to mention we didn't use all the cards because there's only a certain amount of people. What it is? It's a card draft. You know, kind of like a Seven Wonders. Everyone's dealt 8 cards or whatever. You pick one, you pass them. You pick one, you pass them. That's kind of how you draw your hand.
Kind of like life.
Like I said, the hand that you're dealt. That portion of the game I really, really like. Everything about the cards and upgrades and things of that nature I really liked. It was just some of the other nuances of, like, the battle and whatnot I just thought were, like, lacking. I don't know if it's imagination or detail. I don't know. I feel like that portion was, like, thrown in there. I feel like there could be just a couple more spaces to put guys out for battle or whatnot. But
I feel like Brian hasn't said anything in a while.
Yeah. Get in there.
What'd you hate, Brian?
What I hate?
What'd you hate?
But there's no 20-sided dice.
I would like dice in this game. Yeah. Yes. One of my favorite things about Conquest and Nerath is there's different dice applied to each different character, which makes it
love
super fun.
That, dude.
I don't even remember what that game looks
like. Well, because you have the 8-sided, 10-sided, I mean 12-sided. It's awesome.
There's like 5 different dice depending on if you're using the low level
10, 12, 20.
Yeah, if you're using the low level warriors, you use a 4-sided. You're using the wizard,
four.
You use an 8-sided. Storm elementals use a 12-sided. The dragon uses a 20-sided. Yeah. And then depending on...
And you have to get a certain amount. Yeah.
Some of them use 2 6-sided. I mean, it's just
We should have busted that out.
It's right fucking there.
Well, when Chris was here, because 4 players, that's where it's at.
But that is one minor thing. The cards themselves, I like what they do, but I feel like, and this is just a nitpicky thing, Vellum would have been way better. Kind of grown on me, like the... textured cards better than the kind of flat cardboard ones. Also, I think some of the cards are a little too... Like, when you bust out your +6 and somebody goes, oh, I have a +0, but it kills all but one of your guys, it's like, God, that is fucking totally imbalanced to me.
It is a smidge.
That's... There should be...
Well, so is you bringing in 8 dudes against one guy.
That's what they think.
Well,
that's
see, that card shouldn't...
Great equalizer.
That card shouldn't be able to be used in the middle.
Because... If you have 5 spots, there's only 5 spots to contest over.
Right.
The water spaces should cover more ground, and you should be able to move around.
Yes, for sure.
But the big one for me...
The water should be divided and go all the way around.
Yeah.
Shit, now I forgot what my main one... Just skip ahead, because I can't remember it now. I was 20 minutes ago when I thought of it.
Dice.
Not dice.
Cards. No. Vellum.
No.
Dudes.
Miniatures.
No, just water. Move on.
I got nothing. That's why I'm pressing you.
Yeah. Come on with it.
Yeah, I mean, what else am I going to bitch about, dude? This guy and Chris going on and on about the pillaging for the last hour.
You didn't like it either.
I just didn't like the fact that if you were pillaging and I stopped you, I didn't get dick for it.
That's what I was thinking of. There should be... I feel like when somebody starts gaining rage over everybody else, it makes it that much harder for everybody else to be able to increase their rage, which gives the person who's... Like, say, if somebody pillaged 2 areas and it was rage in both of them, now all of a sudden they have 8 rage every round, and there's only a handful of cards that increase your rage or allow you to move your rage up.
I know where you're getting at, yeah.
Once somebody starts to pull away rage-wise, it makes it fucking impossible because you start taking areas out, and if the rage areas get taken out, now there's no rage left to
gain. I think
that
second game, that's what me and Scott both did. We like literally moshed the rage, and you guys were like sitting at... I think the second round, dude, Brian. I think Brian and Chris were at like 6 or I think you were at 7 and Chris was still at 6 and Scott and I were like already at 9.
If somebody pulls away,
we already clarified Chris didn't pass 6.
If somebody pulls away in the rage category, they have a totally distinct
I sucked that day. Yeah.
They have a distinct advantage and I
don't, for sure.
I don't care. But, I think once you get to that point, and I'm sure if the designer or people have played this more, heard me say that, they'd be like, well, if you just did this, that, and that, and that. Yeah, but if that's the case, if it is presumably imbalanced in the way where I'm saying, like, somebody all of a sudden in round one, they were able to pillage 2 areas and pull out a card thing that increased their rage to 9. Nobody else increased their rage to 9. Not only do you have essentially, like, an action or two in addition to everybody else, which gives you more options... But it's also going to push you that much closer to getting those bonus points at the end, which
are a
huge addition.
And you know what? We didn't touch on that now that you mentioned that, because that's another way to increase one of your tracks is each round, when you're passing the cards around, there's a quest card that you can place for free, which all have different, control this area, have one spot in this area, have the most dead guys, whatever the quest may be. But most of the time, you gain some victory points, but you also A lot of them allow you to move one track of your liking up one space, which Chris got boned on like twice, and I think Brian lost out on the first round, and that's why Scott and I like right away jumped ahead in the second game.
The entire first game, I didn't even pay attention to that stuff on the cards.
Yeah, I wasn't looking at the victory points. The only reason I even took the quest was to move like a track up or something. But again, we didn't even know what the tracks were for. I mean, we did, but not how important some are compared to others, I guess. There's no reason to go for the axes in the first round. Like, nobody cares for battle points.
Yeah, it almost seems like the battle points are the least important, other than getting the bonus points.
I mean, if you got them jacked up and started doing stuff with it, I mean, winning a battle.
Yeah, because then you're moving up on the glory track every time you have a battle.
Yeah,
every time you win one,
that's an instant like 5 points move toward on the glory track.
Yeah.
See, I see what you guys are saying, but I think some of the things that might seem imbalanced are actually balanced, and it is covered. Like, you know, you think about, okay, yeah, that sea serpent, yeah, it's basically just another fucking boat. But I mean, it's got like whatever it had a 3 or 4. So I mean, if you had that thing in one of the fjords, and you know, you go and pillage, I mean, there's extra 3 points right there for either area. And I mean, they had the clan upgrades, they had the warrior upgrades, the leader upgrades.
But all of which cost
right
a pretty rage. Decent amount of rage. So,
and again, if there's let's just say there's 8 spaces in the game, there's like 12 tokens and they're randomly placed, so there might only be 2 places with rage, and those might be gone after the first round. I mean,
oh yeah, those could get blowed up right away.
Ragnarok.
I think the game is meant to put the players in like
shitty positions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Think it is.
No, I think so too.
I think it's meant for you to feel like you're backed into a corner.
Yeah, it's definitely a claw your way out game. I mean, that portion of it is the only reason I'm going to rate this thing over at 5.
All right.
Well, before we get into rating, why don't we quickly run through something we would change, and then we'll move on from there.
Can I go first?
You might as well, because I'm probably just going to be the same. So.
I'd take a different box off the shelf. Your turn.
Oh, burn!
Wow.
Yeah, I would change the pillaging a little bit, because if I'm stopping him from pillaging, I ain't doing it because I'm a nice Viking. I'm doing it because I'm pillaging too. So I feel like whoever wins should get that reward. That alone would be a huge game changer.
Oh, couldn't agree more with that.
I'm going to invoke the Conquest of Narrath argument once more, because that and Scythe are probably the top of my area control mountain. Probably Belfort's somewhere a little lower than that, but it's a little less worry and a little more like, hey, let's get some wood. But if I had to go, if somebody like put a gun in my head and said, all right, give me your favorite area control game ever, I'd be like, oh my God, Conquest of Narrath, Scythe, which one do I pick? What I love about Conquest of Narrath, because in addition to the whole, like, let's fight each other over space, there's also the dungeon doors.
Oh, yeah.
When you defeat whatever monster is behind the dungeon door, you replace it. You put a new one down. Sometimes, if you don't defeat it, now you put another one on top of it, now you have to go through 2 of them. But no matter what, you're always replacing those doors, so you're always putting new monsters out on the board that are basically neutral. They're not for anybody. They're basically fodder for someone to gain some points, gain some spells, gain some money, whatever the hell. Once you pillage in Blood Rage, that spot's dead. But maybe if you take that token off and then randomly put another one in its place, that might increase the opportunities to get rage, get the stuff like that I said that feels like it's in short supply. So there's that. Secondly, faction powers would be right off the bat the first thing I would do.
Or...
Yeah, I agree.
Because one of the best things about Scythe...
I forgot about that.
One of the best things about Scythe is you take a faction and a programming board, or whatever you want to call it, and they're all different. So you have 7 factions, 7 different boards, you have 49 possibilities, and they're all... And they're all... They all have the same basic things, but sometimes This one only costs two oil to do this, whereas on this guy's board it costs three, but it's going to cost a little less to do this. And then, you know, the general cost of bringing the mechs out's the same, but they all offer different benefits depending on how you what order you bring them out in. Every faction has its own individual, like, modifier. This game, every single clan is exactly the same.
I always forget how much I like faction powers when they aren't there. I forget how much I, like, yeah. how big of a deal it actually is. Because when you're, like, who doesn't love, like, picking their character?
Yeah.
For a reason.
Yeah.
And I know
the other than, I want to be blue.
Yeah, no, same argument with King of New York.
I know. Yeah, exactly. I want to be the kitten.
I get that the cards upgrade and give you individual benefits, but I like having one right out of the gate.
Yeah, just a little something. Doesn't have to be awesome.
Yeah, you get, like, all your warriors are plus one in this area. Mm-hmm. If you have your leader with two guys, that's an automatic plus one in any yellow area. Something like that.
Okay, I'm going to go encounter that.
You have nothing. Moving on.
No, I do have something.
You got nothing.
Why make another of the same fucking thing that's already out on the market?
What do you mean the same thing?
Well, why? I mean, if you're gonna have like the factions have this, you know, certain ability. I mean, you're basically just you're making Scythe them, but just with Vikings.
No.
What about the civilization? It's different to be. Julius Caesar than it is to be Cleopatra.
It's good to be the king.
It's just
but
you're not talking about like a game-changing bonus. You get to have the clan upgrade,
which I think is kind of cool because it's then something different every round.
It is.
Or not, it's not every round, but I mean with every player because then you could easily switch those upgrades out too.
I mean,
you can easily switch them out by paying more of your rage that I just spent to put that out on the last turn.
If you're fucking Romney with the rage like you were, I mean, then that should be nothing.
Yeah, well, I'm good at stuff.
I get what you're saying, but, I mean, let's face it. There's a majority of these types of games have that clan power.
Yeah. Or
it's not like it's something
that's specific to Scythe. I don't think it's a copy of another game.
You know, Scythe has
No, because I did think about that, Brian said when we first started playing the game. I was like, it would be cool if, like, the clans actually had something a little different that set them apart besides saying, okay, I'm the snake, you're the wolf, you're the bear, and...
Or, okay, we can scrap the Scythe comparison and go Arkham Horror instead. Say every clan starts with a specific weapon, specific... whatever, magic power, modifier, but they also have a score that's like their start amount of points, and they can allocate them however they want. If you want to start with 8 rage, 1 battle point, and 0 in another mark, you can do that. Or you can do it evenly. You have 9 points to spend on those 3 tracks however you want. So that way, that would modify the game without having each like clan go, well...
I feel like everyone's just going to go 9-0.
Maybe, but then you'll find through playing that okay. But that's
not put, I mean, no, your really idea definitely would out. Not hurt the game. So. It would, it would add to it.
But I mean, even like Firefly or something. It the pilot you pick has stuff.
Defenders of the Realm.
Any game.
Every guy has every. Just a lot. Most games have a character.
And
specific
we're not talking about like one guy's. You know, Jesus and everyone else is the disciples. Like they're normally some type of balance to what the gains are.
It'd be so awesome. Jesus walks on water, turns water into wine, throws fish in the air, feeds everybody. Yeah.
Disciples.
Joseph has a beard.
Yeah.
Satan, firepower, plus 3.
Peter got robbed. John paid Paul.
Judas, total dick.
Yeah. That's probably the guy I'd pick.
The hell were we talking about?
I was just saying.
Did I say anything? Oh, yeah, I did. My different. Did everybody do what they did different?
I did. I
think so.
Well, all right then. I guess we're going to number this thing.
Come on with it.
I guess I'll go first because I'm sitting. Actually, you know what, Chris? Why don't you go first? It's your game.
Yeah. How much does this game cost, by the way?
50. 50.
Got it.
What'd you say?
He said 8.
I gave it an 8.
Like a manimal.
Right.
Brian.
I liked it.
I'm also going to give it an 8. Based on the hype, though, I mean, the way people talked about this game before we played it, you would think that there was no reason to own another board game in your collection of any kind ever again, because Blood Rage is... People talked about this game like, oh my god, like it's changed the way I...
It's the future of game.
Like the way I see color and smell things is so much different now.
It makes bread that much better.
Yeah, people like really like went way overboard with how good of a game this is. It's a good game. Don't get me wrong. It's a really good game. But to sit there and talk about it like it's going to replace every game you've ever played, not really.
Michael?
It's definitely more visceral than Scythe is.
In a way, yeah.
Scythe is the thinking man's game. I mean, if you're going to ask me which one I like better, I'm definitely going with Scythe.
I never played that, so. But my rating is a 6.5.
Well, I'm surprised at some of these scores here, the way everyone was rambling. I figured, Mike's I'm not surprised at, but everyone else, I'm kind of am.
I give it a 6.5, and that's actually...
That's basically a B.
No, I know. I was expecting you and Brian to be a little lower, I think. I thought I was going to top out the thing with an 8 myself, because... I may have complained a lot, but I really had a lot of fun playing.
I'm not
this
saying
game.
I didn't like it, and let's not forget 6.5 isn't a 4.
No, no. I am you know on I mean? The page with you there, son.
Yeah, Mike just gave it a C-.
It's better than average. Yeah. Is a 6.5. Oh, no. So
yeah. It's I mean, would I ever play it again? Yeah. If there was a stack of 10 games there, what number would it be? Probably not in the top 3. You know what I mean? And pick any 10 games on this shelf right there.
Basically, if Mike's on an island, letter, he's not taking it with him.
Timeline. See, where I disagree...
I would paint your miniatures, though. I do like those.
Where I disagree is the reason I give it an 8, partially, is because it is fairly short.
Yeah.
If it was longer, it would start to feel a little repetitive, and then I probably would lower it to about a 6.
I actually thought when we were talking about it, too, that if it was one more round, I don't know if I would just be like, oh, you know, like... Like
it's
we gotta, said,
it's got to be
either
hashtag,
too long or too short. Yeah. Hashtag grr.
Mondays.
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
All right. So
what is your score? 8?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm literally surprised it's 3 8s.
I am too. I figured I was going to be the highest, but hey.
It gets a lot of high marks for the component quality, the miniatures.
I guess, but I mean, that's. See, like I said, I think the miniatures are. But. That's got dick to do with this gameplay. My sole score is, I mean, maybe the miniatures even bumped it up for me, is gameplay. And the only reason, like I said earlier, is the card aspect I think is super cool and semi-original. I mean, it's not the first time it's ever been done, but...
It's not very often you see it with the card drafting system.
Yeah, and that I actually like. In this type of a game, I don't think I've ever done that before.
Right. I agree.
So I dig that, and I'll give them marks for that. I think it's just there's so many other components of the game that are just lacking a little bit of detail. Like, there could have been a little more. That's all.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not saying it sucks.
I would probably say the designer probably relied on chance too much with it.
Yeah.
To clarify, I'm saying, you know, basically, you know... You're putting all your eggs into one basket based on the cards you draft.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and this is now to double back on the whole, you have to keep your card if you lose. Kind of not really a benefit, because now if you bust out your 6 and he busts out his card that says, oh, I'm only get a +1, but it kills all but one of your guys, so you end up losing anyway. It's great. You have a +6. Everybody now knows it. So maybe.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Mike's like, yeah, well, thanks a lot. You know, he's like, now I know what you have, you know, moron.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a benefit. What would be better is if you discard that card and you can either A, pick a new one off of that era deck, or go through the discard pile, pick a different card, add it to your hand. Now no one knows what you have.
That would actually be cool to do.
There's stuff, but some of those cards, I mean, I don't know if the people listening understand how decimating a +6 actually is if it can hit.
Oh,
when,
if it hits,
when
yeah.
One warrior's worth 1 and 1 leader's worth 3 and it's 2-on-2, I mean, a +6 is
1.5 more army. You know what I mean?
Unless somebody's got the plus 5, and then they go, oh, and I got this plus 3 that says play this after you've played your regular attack.
That's like, also disgusting. Oh, you got me. Yeah.
Anyway, right. I think we've covered that ground
good
multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
If you're listening, fix that shit.
We've beaten this horse.
2.0.
Yeah, we beat the shit out of this horse, son. So, there you have it. Blood Rage. It's, yeah. I'd say it's worth right. it. It's worth adding to your shelf. Or
I agree.
If you're...
I wait for it to be on a little bit of a sale.
Or if your local store is having a game day and they got a sample, check it out first. But it's, you know, it's a neat kind of game. So, with that being said, you can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can find me on Instagram at Slevin77. You can find me on Snapchat at XorsonX.
You can find him on eHarmony.
Right. At Fat Guy Looking for Love.
I thought that was your Grindr profile.
Oh.
That's not funny.
You can find Brian on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Mike on Twitter at Review and Roast. And you can find Christopher on Twitter at SkateXEdge. Don't forget to look at Review and Roast Instagram, Comic Roast Instagram, and Star Wars Tabletop Instagram. And head over to Facebook and follow us at facebook.com/reviewandroast. You got a specific game that you really like and you want to know what we think, hey, tweet us, let us know, and we'll play it and tell you why you're wrong.
Apparently. Don't forget to check out Mike's art opening that he's having at the...
Gaming Goat?
Yeah, the gallery.
Gonna be. Couple weeks.
Having an art gala.
The gallery goat?
A couple weeks.
All right, folks. Have a good week.